We call them dark ages because we weren't doing any shows. We were still doing lots of output for the company. We were still doing lots of small community projects in the valleys. We were still doing running an agency. We were still teaching classes. We were still running Splot State Circus. We were doing Splot State Cabarets and all of that sort of stuff. But we weren't ourselves as a company. We didn't have a chance to do any big shows because we were trying to change our form, and that's where you and Tim were really, really involved with supporting me and Tom to think bigger.
Yeah. So I remember that we wrote endless applications, proposals, business plans, because to get we had to articulate a vision for the company that would justify the investment we were asking from the Arts Council for the new tent. We had to then make a business plan for that, so we had to come up with income streams that you hadn't had before. It was like a whole big grown-up project that we embarked on together, making it the new company, devising what that was going to be, what it was going to be doing, so that we could tell a compelling story to the Arts Council. And also we had to generate the match funding too, didn't we? So we had to
I think we applied for 190 something well, the project was a 250,000 project,
the capital project,
and we were eventually given after all the writing of the business plans and everything, we were given 192,000 and had to raise around 60,000 ourselves, and that in itself took a considerable length of time because we just didn't have it to start with.
So I remember that we got people to take out bonds. We had bondholders. Do you remember how that money was raised?
Yeah, a lot of the money was raised through, I mean, at that time, nobody was earning, none of us were on a salary. Myself and Tom weren't on a salary, so we weren't being paid. We were paid on projects and spent life on the dole in between, basically. So we were on the dole. I was running. Tom was still at college, I think, or was just finishing. No, he was off doing his doctor technology medical event thing for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I was there running the agency and all the workshops, and all the 15% from all of that was going in as match funding. We were doing a little bit of kind of wheeling and dealing with people that we were buying kit off to get better prices, or get them to put help in kind in as well.
Mm-hmm.
Polite way of putting it. And we sold bonds, and we raised about £20,000 worth of bonds by selling gold, silver and bronze crisis bonds. And the gold ones were £1,000 each, I think, and the silvers were £100 each, and the bronze ones were £50 each. And I think we raised about £20,000, and that was a kind of a loan. It was always set up as you can have your money back at some
when we could afford it. All of that. So basically four of us worked for no money for two or three years, doing all that needed to be done to make the case and come up with these other ways of raising money.
And to get the tent itself, we had to have a case for why we were going to have the new tent, and that was that we were, because we'd done the two warehouse shows, we'd done Prophecy and we'd done Now Here, and we were wanting, well, the Arts Council was actually saying to us at that point, we don't want to fund a third project in Cardiff, we want you to expand around to do more in regions outside Cardiff, because we think what you're doing is great, but we want to see it more Wales-wide and less Cardiff-centric. So we took the opportunity to go back to them and say, OK, well, if you we can't find warehouses and it's not affordable to go and do that sort of work. So what we need to do is have a touring venue that's big enough for us to be able to do those shows in different communities in Wales.
Mm-hmm.
So we applied for the tent on the premise of being able to do that. And then we put in a big application with three partners, one in Wrexham, one in Bangor, and one in Cardiff and Swansea, I think, or maybe four partners.
Mm.
And then the money didn't, they said no.
So was the idea that we would do, so what I remember, this is the bit I remember that we had an idea for how we would make a show which involved collaboration with communities in three or four different areas, and that the performers who weren't there would be beamed in live. So we would use live streaming. Or was it
that happened that later. That happened once they'd turned us down. Oh, no,
that's it. That was the concept. I remember the concept. I'd still like to do that show. So somehow there was a framework. Well, it became Park Life in a way, except that we used loads and loads of video. So that was a real passion of mine and a shared interest with Tom. So in those warehouse shows, we really developed a way of presenting video as part, integral part of the language, both live and pre-recorded. And we thought this was the next step, is that we would have on our, in our fully integrated, projected language, there would be some people who weren't actually there. And that is how we would create a new art form now that was not just professionals and participants and immersive and the audience in the middle, but it would have people everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
And they would all be performing live at the same time, but we would see them at different points. And then there would be a core thing that would go to those places. And so maybe the ones who were performing who weren't actually where the audience were would be doing something else. They would be performing on the docks or on a roof or... I don't know, but that was the conversation that we had and got excited about, and that was what we wanted to do. And presumably that's what we applied for, and they said, oh, maybe don't do that.
Have a tent.
Yeah, and then so we had to go back. So that made that gap even bigger. So we were struggling to get the match funding, which was meaning the tent was taking longer. And with the application that we were meant to do the touring in the tent also failed, so we had to go back and reapply, where we said, okay, we're going to do the third one in Cardiff, but we will do satellite projects, smaller satellite projects. So you probably don't remember much about this. I was community coordinator at the time. So I went and worked with a group in North Wales who in Bangor, Circus, and they created an immortal show along the rivers and in Evenal, a country estate, a promenade performance with their circus group that I worked with Kate Driver to help put together and direct.
Mm.
And we also went to Swansea and we worked with Circus Eruption, and we taught all the disabled people with learning difficulties how to do fire.
I came to see that show, I remember
that. And we performed in the Morpher Stadium in front of 10,000 people, and the fire officer was
before
freaking out.
Before the fireworks show, wasn't it?
He was going, how dare you teach children to play with fire, and this is outrageous, you're going to perform. And I was like, I better not tell him there's people with learning difficulties as well as children, because he really will freak out. But then we filmed that performance, and then while we were doing the fire scene in the show, we projected them from, so we sort of got a little bit of it, but we didn't manage to do it in anywhere near the scale that we wanted to.
And but then, so then we must have got the, so we got the funding for that project, which had those out satellite elements to it, and the same for similar format to what we'd done before in Cardiff, except that we had ambitions to develop the performance language, the style of it, within the tent. And that was the very first show
in the tent.
In 2002?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what we called Immortal Zero, and that really did define the sort of theatrical language that we would take forward into the future years.
Yeah, so what I remember is that then we had, our idea was that we would distill the really best bits of those warehouse shows, or that trilogy, the Stepping Stones trilogy. There were bits that we thought that was a really successful experiment. Let's have that in this new show, new professional show. Let's have this bit work well from this show. Basically, I remember we sat and we reviewed what we liked about it all, and we thought that that's the show that we would create and tour. And that would be called Immortal, because we thought that was a good name.
Yeah, so at that point we'd been working with the same community performers for 3 years, and there were quite a lot of people that were really high skilled and had quite a lot of performance experience, so we were also planning to take them on tour with us.
Yeah.
So we were going to create a new show, but that had community performers in it, but only the ones from our community, and give them an opportunity to come on to
us. Well, it was a progression route, so that was part of our vision. Was that part of our vision, or did we make it up afterwards? I can't remember. But the idea that became absolutely true was that from that grassroots participation, collaboration with high skill groups, we would collect, recruit new participants for your training programs, and that then those people who we'd met through all those projects, which we cast our net very far and wide, would have an opportunity to become apprentices or trainees in a professional touring show, which is exactly what happened.